These are the chosen BlackRock coins.
In this episode, we'll be discussing four projects that are poised to see billions of dollars of institutional money flow into them.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey. Because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
Views expressed by speakers on the Bean Pod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Bean Pod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be revealing the special chosen altcoins for BlackRock and institutional money.
Right now is the time to pay attention because the institutions are coming and we see it through the data. Look at the Coinbase earnings, which we'll get into a little bit later in this episode. And you can see exactly the writing is on the wall. You can see which altcoins are performing the best during these periods of drawdowns. And it all makes sense when you tune into this episode, watch it to the end, because we're going to highlight four projects that are poised to see billions of dollars of institutional money flow into them, and we'll give you the reasons why.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I hold big bags of all four of these projects. And before we get into the four projects, let's just have a quick discussion about why we think institutional money following the institutions for this particular bull run is maybe more important than chasing the retail money, right? Because we've started to talk about this a little bit in our Discord and on Twitter, but I think it's worth a discussion to kind of prime everyone that's watching right now to understand why these four projects could be the ones that billions will flow into.
Yeah, look, the bull run is currently being fueled by the ETFs. And that's because these ETFs have made it a lot easier for people who don't understand, because setting up a wallet, accessing Uniswap, all these other things, super fucking complicated. I have family and friends who don't even know how to operate on a centralized exchange, trying to get your money on and off, very complicated. These ETFs allowed you to, you know, type in the ticker, IBIT, and buy some Bitcoin, quote unquote, because you're not actually physically owning it, but you're buying it through these ETFs. So you're seeing billions of dollars of inflows coming into these ETFs. So I think we saw like something of $15 billion of inflows. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is fueled by the retail traders right now. Soon we're going to be seeing a lot of the institutions step in, because there's always like that grace period before the banks start to use their brokers to actually start selling and pushing it onto their clients, because they got to do that due diligence.
Right.
But I think because now we're seeing hedge funds, pension funds, we're seeing asset managers. Now that we have this regulatory framework, we're going to start to see these institutions step in. What do they want? They want safe, secure, high-yield plays that are going to generate them easy money. And that's what I believe we're going to see.
For sure. So we've already seen the massive inflow of institutional money just start with the Bitcoin ETFs. And what are we going to see later this year? Almost guaranteed Ethereum ETFs. So we're going to see a continued adoption from institutions who are going to start to put 0.1, 0.5, 1, 2% of all of their clients' money into Bitcoin, into Ethereum, and by way of Ethereum into altcoins, right? So I think you're going to, you know, one of the smart things to do right now in, you know, in retail land, in meme coin land, is player versus player. There really isn't any new money entering the space, as you can see from the crypto total market cap right now kind of going down again. So it's very hard. You're chasing pumps, getting dumped on, you're getting rug pulled, you're getting scammed by chasing these retail coins that nobody's buying. So you have to be very specific in terms of, yes, there are some legit projects, low caps, mid caps that we talk about on this show, but it's very difficult. You have to be very on point. But what I think is a smarter strategy and something we've been employing is follow the institutional money. And by following the institutional money, by learning about the projects that are setting themselves up for institutions to ape in and offering something that institutional money likes, which is yield-bearing products, like we're going to talk about later in this episode, these are the projects that could be the chosen ones. They could be the BlackRock coins, the coins that BlackRock, Fidelity, ARK Investments, all the crypto money that flows from institutions could go into these four projects.
Yeah, look, we do a really good job of identifying the narratives because we understand it is player versus player out there right now in a lot of the altcoins that exist. But they can go on these massive, 2,000% runs, but then they're going to retrace 80%. And that's unfortunate, but that's just what that, mid-cap, lower-cap altcoin market is all about.
Yep.
When these big institutions and stuff step in, they don't want these type of coins. They want legit projects that are going to be around that have, real team members and all these things. And that's why we're looking at it. And I was doing some research and I want to see, according to VanEck, which is going to be one of the leading Ethereum ETF issuers, mm-hmm. 90% of the flow so far has been retail of the $15+ billion that's come in. So that's right. All the baby boomers and all that. Only 10% has been institutional so far. So the reason we're positioning ourselves now is because that 10% is going to increase. When you look at the Coinbase earnings and you look at what percentage is retail and what percentage is institution, that institution number is increasing on Coinbase.
Right.
But the retail side is kind of, it's just been very, very flat.
Yep.
So you want to position yourself now because what they're doing is Morgan Stanley, they're reportedly preparing to allow its brokers to recommend spot Bitcoin ETFs to their clients. They have 15,000 brokers that are now going to be actively selling. That's just Morgan Stanley.
Right.
Think about JP Morgan, all these other banks, Citibank, et cetera, all have thousands of these brokers employed.
Yep.
They're going to start pushing these products.
Yep.
Then you got the Ethereum ETF. Then that's going to lead to art, what BlackRock has talked about, the RWA. They want to tokenize everything. So we're going to start looking at, projects that kind of fit that narrative. But we want to identify now, before the institutions step in, where they're going to be putting their money. And I think in these four projects are probably the safest bet.
For sure. So let's jump right into the first one. This is the one that we've talked about as the chosen BlackRock coin, right? This is one that, we know Larry Fink has said the next generation markets are tokenization. It's a $1 trillion opportunity. So what crypto project is working already on tokenizing assets, working on offering yield-bearing products for institutions, and is working with BlackRock? What's Ondo Finance, right?
Yeah.
So if you've been following us, we've been on Ondo Finance for several months now. It's performed very, very well. I think it was the second best performing top 100 crypto project in the month of May. And you can look at the chart, it's basically been up only. Like, we've been early on Ondo Finance, and I think the sky is the limit because Ondo Finance is already they've already moved $100 million to the BlackRock tokenized fund, the Biddle. They're working, Ondo and BlackRock are already working together. Like, you can see the writing on the wall and it's just starting.
If you go on Arkham Intelligence, I shared that post a while back. It's like, you can actually see that the physical BlackRock entity has been sending money to Ondo.
Yeah.
$250,000 at a time or whatever. But it just verifies that, look, there is that connection. So they do have partnerships with BlackRock and JP Morgan. BlackRock is facilitating the integration of traditional finance products, like US Treasury bonds, into the DeFi space. So you're going to be able to tokenize treasuries. You're going to be able to earn yield on your stable coins because they have, the USDY. So really simple. They're going to have the OUSG for US treasuries. They have an institutional backing from Pantera. So BlackRock is literally working hand in hand with this. Their market cap is only $1 billion. Mm. When they're tokenizing everything, when they're going to be creating their own stock market and all these other things that they have discussed, where do you think the money's going to go?
Yeah.
A ton of it's going to be on Ondo.
Yeah, I think that was a really undershared piece of news that people aren't really discussing is the fact that BlackRock is looking at setting up their own version of a stock market to rival the New York Stock Exchange. And who do you think they're going to be using to tokenize all these assets, to offer all these yield-generating platforms? It's Ondo Finance. Ondo is officially backed by Founders Fund, Coinbase, Pantera, writing on the wall that they're already officially working with BlackRock. They are the leading institution-backed tokenization and yield-generating platform. It's Ondo Finance. So for me, if you're looking at institutional coins, ones that are, already backed by institutions, B, working with institutions, and C, tied to BlackRock, it has to be Ondo Finance. This is one of my biggest positions because it's grown quite a lot over the past 3 months, but it's one that I can see just growing to be an absolute top 10 or 20 coin. I've said that I think Ondo is going to be a top 20 coin when it's all said and done, and the path is pretty clear.
Yeah, and they comply with all U.S. financial regulations as well. So I think this is number one on the list of, BlackRock coins, quote unquote institutional adoption. This is where the money's going to flow because look, it's secure, it's safe, working with the institutions already, high yield generation.
For sure.
The next one I think we should look at would be, like we said, like so $15+ billion has floated into Bitcoin. There's already, it's already a multi-trillion dollar asset. This is where all the money is right now. There's no protocol out there that is allowing people to unlock their the DeFi mechanism of Bitcoin, you know, unless you're using Stacks or the Lightning Network, where it has its own issues altogether. But how do you earn yield on your Bitcoin that is safe, secure, and generates a lot of passive income for you? Mm-hmm. You can't, there's not really many projects. There's none of them out there, let's say. This is the only project that allows you to stake your Bitcoin without leaving the Bitcoin network. So you don't have to bridge it. You don't have to wrap your Bitcoin and you can earn high APY. And that's CoreDAO.
Yeah, CoreDAO, you know, we've been bullish on CoreDAO for a long time now. It is the only project that has ever offered non-custodial Bitcoin staking. And as you mentioned, institutions have been publicly piling Bitcoin. So they have massive bags of Bitcoin. Now, what is traditional finance? What do they want? They want two things in an ideal investment. One is an asymmetrical opportunity, which clearly Bitcoin has offered because institutions are piling into Bitcoin. This is the leader of decentralized finance that is being rapidly globally adopted. So it is an asymmetrical opportunity. And two is attractive yield bearing. Now, for the longest time since Bitcoin's inception, there has not been an attractive and safe yield bearing option for holding Bitcoin. It's basically just you buy Bitcoin, you hold Bitcoin, the price appreciates. And you know, if you've bought and done that, you've done very well. But now, CoreDAO has unlocked a $1 trillion opportunity that will allow these institutions that have stacked these massive Bitcoin bags to not give up their keys, not give up their custody of their Bitcoin, but to start staking their Bitcoin on the Bitcoin blockchain and earning native yield. And I think the opportunity that CoreDAO has unlocked here is gigantic and still not priced into the price of Core. And that's why this is, again, one of our biggest holdings.
And then we talk about the institutional side and what makes it easy for these players, these high net worth individuals to start doing this is through the ETP in collaboration with DeFi Technologies and Valour Assets, Valour Asset Management. So this is a merger with TradeFi and crypto. You can think of it the same way as an ETF. It makes it really simple. So it's designed to provide exposure to Bitcoin native yields where you can earn yield on your Bitcoin without leaving the Bitcoin network. And Valour is already committed to staking $100 million worth of Bitcoin on the network. And I think this really exemplifies institutional credibility. We've seen it go from when they just first offered, I think less than a month ago, there was zero Bitcoin staked. They flicked the switch. Now there's over 3,000 Bitcoin being staked.
Right.
And in time, you're going to see 6,000, 10,000, more, as more and more people wake up to it via these vehicles like the ETP through Valour, you're going to start to see, you know, like I said, 10,000 plus Bitcoin on this network. And it's going to allow these people to access DeFi and start, it should contribute a lot to the CoreDAO ecosystem because now they're like, oh, I can earn yield. I'm going to get this staked Core. And now I can start using this Core within this ecosystem and start doing other things with it. So it should bode really well, I think, for CoreDAO.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a Trojan horse, if you want to think about it that way, the fact that CoreDAO is offering native Bitcoin staking because, again, as I said, you have these institutions that have these massive bags of Bitcoin. They want it to be a yield-bearing asset. So what they're going to do, they're going to stake their Bitcoin on the Core network, and what do they get for staking their Bitcoin is they're going to receive Core token. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, now we're compiling all this Core token. What can we do with this Core token? Well, CoreDAO is their own blockchain. As we've detailed, it takes the security of Bitcoin, scalability, and customization of Ethereum. So they're going to see, oh, wow, now welcome into, it's a Trojan horse into the CoreDAO ecosystem. And there's a lot of exciting projects that are going to be launching on Core over the coming year plus, one of which is CoreX, the native DEX for the ecosystem, AI powered, which we personally invested in. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. CoreDAO, I think, is going to be building this entire ecosystem based around the Core token, which institutions and anyone that has big bags of Bitcoin are going to be receiving for staking their Bitcoin. So it's a perfect Trojan horse, which I think will propel the CoreDAO ecosystem to be one of the most talked about ecosystems of this bull run.
That's crazy. Like, think about some of these whales. They hold $1 billion worth of Bitcoin. Imagine fucking earning 10% on that.
Yeah.
Just by sitting there. But then you get all these Core tokens. And then you can like use that and start earning other DeFi yields from like bridging into, I don't know, Ondo or something. Like you can, then you can, the possibilities are endless with Core DAO. I think this is where we're going to see a lot. I think it's going to be a massive player in the space.
Yeah, for sure. You can see it. It woke up in a massive way after we got onto it. Again, our timing was perfect. We were in before the masses. It's kind of chilling right now as people are looking elsewhere. There's not a lot of money flowing to the space, but don't forget about Core DAO. This is going to be one of the big winners in the bull run, and I think it's one of our biggest positions.
Absolutely. I think the next one we can talk about would be, you know, obviously AI is massive. What is the one project out there that will, A, make institutions a shit ton of money, is already working with institutions, is seeing coverage by the mass media? There's only one project out there.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, we talked about it before. We've talked about it many times. Bitcoin is the decentralized finance solution. BitTensor is the decentralized AI solution. So if you're looking for an AI project that is going to make itself available for massive institutional money flowing in, you want it to be decentralized. Now, the problem with a lot of the top-ranked AI projects is they're just too centralized. You know, whether it be Fetch or Singularity or even Render, there's a lot of centralization. There's teams that hold the tokens. Mm. Just the way that everything is built, they're centralized AI projects. BitTensor is a decentralized AI project. It has the same tokenomics as Bitcoin. So a lot of institutions are going to say, oh, look, we understand Bitcoin. We understand BitTensor. BitTensor is solving a lot of the centralized problems with AI where the algorithms are, you know, they're closed box, they're not open source, you don't know what's going on. Only certain people in the network are actually being rewarded for taking part, or, you know, maybe it's only OpenAI. BitTensor solves a lot of these centralized problems by being the number one decentralized network. And I think that's why you're seeing entities like Grayscale publicly buying BitTensor, basically laying the path to many rumors starting to circulate that there's going to be a Grayscale AI or Grayscale BitTensor Trust launching in the not too distant future.
Yeah, so Foundry is one of the largest Bitcoin miners on the planet. And it's also one of the largest validators on the BitTensor network. Foundry is owned by the Digital Currency Group, and Digital Currency Group also owns Grayscale. Grayscale is actively pushing TAO, BitTensor.
Yep.
Consistently. Look at how Grayscale had their trust. They're accumulating Bitcoin, you know, many years ago, and they've been able to sell it off, and they've all these things. They've been accumulating Ethereum for ages. I think that we're going to see a Grayscale AI trust, and BitTensor is going to be like the number one play in that. And that's going to give institutions a really easy, accessible way to start purchasing and partaking in the BitTensor ecosystem. This is a project that's going to have over 1,000 subnets. Mm-hmm. One of the subnets on there is currently predicting the price of Bitcoin in the stock market.
Yeah,
you're telling me institutions are not going to be utilizing BitTensor for everything it has. I think one of the other subnets, I can't remember, it's like 27, has 1,300 GPUs and it's growing exponentially every single day.
Right.
And we talk about NVIDIA and some of the other projects that make them so valuable, like Render or Aether, is their access to these GPUs. You literally have a project that is going to provide you with every single thing that you're going to need. And you have the tradable TAO token, which is tokenized artificial intelligence.
Yeah, like we already covered why like the foundation of BitTensor is so good. Another thing, obviously, they didn't have an ICO. It's fully decentralized. It's just SEC and FTC compliant. They're not going to be labeled as security, which is another massive green ticks box for institutional adoption. And then, yeah, when you look at what institutions are looking for, one, the asymmetric investment, but two, a growing ecosystem. So now we're just at the point where the subnets, at the time of recording, 32 subnets, soon it's going to be 64, 128, then into thousands, right? So you're actually going to start to see real-world use cases, real apps that people are going to be able to harness the open source algorithm of BitTensor and start using it to do things in the world of AI. Like you mentioned, Taoshi is predicting the price of Bitcoin and probably in the future, many different altcoins. You're going to start to see all these different subnets come online learning from this amazing BitTensor algorithm, and institutions are going to see that and be like, look, one, we want a piece of that because we want to start using the BitTensor algorithm, and two, you have a massively growing decentralized AI ecosystem that ticks all the boxes. So if you're going to pick any AI project that's going to have institutional money by the billions flowing in, for me, it has to be BitTensor. So not only can you say BitTensor is the decentralized chosen one for AI, but it could be the institutional one for AI as well.
Yeah, and there's also all the different ways of earning. You know, you can become a miner, a validator, you can stake it. So there's all these different ways of earning that passive income, that passive yield. And then, of course, the small cap gem, Sturdy, which is offering AI DeFi, which is one of the only altcoins within the BitTensor ecosystem. Maybe that sees some adoption too. Who knows?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, when you look at the BitTensor ecosystem, there's not a lot of projects that have coins that are actually live subnets. That's why we talked about Sturdy a while ago. It's been performing well. It's one of those small cap gems within BitTensor. You know, we're always on the lookout for small cap gems in AI that are related to BitTensor officially that have subnets. So, you know, if you have any more, let us know in the comments. But it's BitTensor. You know, we've been publicly buying and staking that for, you know, a long, long time
now. Or a year now, yeah.
Since it was like 30, 40, 50 bucks, you know, went all the way to 700. I think this is going to be, you know, top 10 project, well over $1,000 is my Bitcoin or my bull market prediction for BitTensor. So, yeah, keep an eye on this one. This could be the AI institutional coin.
Now, the very last coin we've never really talked about, but it is kind of new on the scene. I looked into their tokenomics, and I quite like the fact that the team and all the advisors and stuff, they don't get their tokens till April of 2025. So there's some time here. I think that it just launched, but it's all about earning high yield. And it's, you know, it ties right into the Ethereum ETF play, you know, one of those beta plays. And this is one that not too many people are talking about just yet.
Yeah, for sure. So the last institutional coin that we want to talk about today is Athena. The ticker is ENA, and I think the timing is perfect for this one, as you mentioned, because it's the Ethereum ETF is the next big narrative. Once the news starts to come back again about when this is going to be approved, is it going to be approved? Yes, it's going to be approved. I think you're going to start to see Ethereum-based DeFi tokens really come back into play. And what Athena is it's potentially the number one DeFi play on Ethereum. So if going back to what I said institutions are looking for, they're looking for an asymmetric opportunity, and they're looking for yield generation from that asset. So if institutions are compiling Ethereum, if they're getting ready to offer their own Ethereum ETF to their clients, that means they're stacking massive bags of ETH. Now, ETH is another asymmetrical opportunity, just like Bitcoin was and is. But what is it missing? It's missing secure on-chain yield generation. Enter Athena. This is one of the best places for institutions that have these Ethereum bags to start staking their Ethereum, getting Ethereum rewards, getting rewards in like actual secure stable coins on Ethereum. And they built this entire DeFi ecosystem. They're making a ton of money by offering these products. And I think the timing is perfect with the Ethereum ETF.
The total value locked has increased substantially. It's gone from like zero to $3.5 billion in like less than a month. Mm. So I almost kind of like view this similar to Core DAO in a way, but for Ethereum.
Yep.
So they're offering 27 to 40% APY. Basically, you can stake USDE, which is the native stablecoin for this ecosystem, but you earn staked, so SUSDE.
Yep.
And then you're going to be able to use that staked USDE within the ecosystem and start earning other passive incomes, all these things. So they use like this delta neutral strategy, which kind of uses like when people are shorting Bitcoin and when people are longing it and all these things. So it ensures that this USDE always maintains its peg. And that's what institutions want. They want safe, secure, high yield generation opportunities. This is one that is regulatory compliant, backed by Binance, Arthur Hayes, OKX. So it's got some really big names behind it. I'd anticipate a big push closer to that TGE. Closer to when the team is able to get their tokens a year from now.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I mean, as you already mentioned, over $1.5 billion in TVL within 2 months of launch. That means people trust this project. It's got big backing, as you said. I think, yeah, look, CoreDAO is your Bitcoin DeFi. Athena, I think, is your Ethereum
Seems
DeFi.
Like it, yeah.
And with the Ethereum ETF and institutional money clearly about to flow into Ethereum, very clear.
It's so clear.
I think you have to have some sort of Ethereum institutional DeFi play in your portfolio. For us, it's Athena. I think the timing is right. It's one of those new coins that's starting to generate hype. A lot of stars are aligning. I think their quick adoption and significant TVL growth right away shows that it's kind of the chosen one for Ethereum ETF. So yeah, keep Athena on your watch list for Ethereum ETF DeFi narrative.
So these are the four projects that we currently like that are poised to see institutional adoption and the billions of dollars that will flow in. We got Ondo Finance, BitTensor, we have CoreDAO for the Bitcoin side, and Athena for the Ethereum side. Obviously, there's probably other projects out there that we have missed. Let us know in the comments so we can do a deep dive, and maybe we can add another episode which will highlight those projects as well.
Yeah, for sure. I know there's going to be some viewers that say, look, you missed XYZ coin. Let us know in the comments, because I know there's a lot of different institutional coins. whether they're backed by institutions, they have ties to institutions, or they're building a platform that could be ripe for institutions to pile in. So definitely let us know in the comments what institutional coins we need to do for the follow-up part two.
Make sure you guys tune into the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.